This is the podcast of Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta. Thanks for listening. If you have a moment, would you rate us or review us on whatever system you're using to listen? We would love to reach more listeners, and ratings and reviews help spread the word. Thanks.
When Mom and Dad left to fight evil, they said Candy's in charge because she's the oldest, and you gotta protect the land because you're the biggest! How you gonna do that if you don't act like a real barbarian?
I never wanted to be a barbarian.
You did when you were 10!
Only because I thought it meant a librarian who also cuts hair.
I'm going to take a mulligan on that. The AB button strikes again.
I can't work with this AB button nonsense.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I'm Charlie Bennett. I have no hair. In the studio is Emmy Decker and Fred Rasko. Josh is on the board, running down a dream. Each week on this show, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called Romance to Reality.
Oh, I like how you put a little spin on that.
There's a journey in that phrase. We're going to look inward and ask ourselves, why did we get into libraries, and is it anything like we expected?
And we're going to try and keep our cool while we tell these stories.
Of course. If you, our listeners, want to join the conversation, the hashtag for this show is LITS362 for Lost in the Stacks, episode 362. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, or librarian origin stories with that hashtag.
Our songs today are about the past, the present, and the future, and how time's arrow sometimes, but not always, mirrors the journey from romantic idealism to pragmatic reality.
Dude.
And we start off with a song. That was deep, wasn't it? And we start off with a song about the pure romance of possibility and naive fearlessness. This is When I Was Young by the Wood Brothers right here on Lost in the Stacks.
I could listen to that all day. That was the Wood Brothers with When I Was Young. Welcome back to Lost in the Stacks. Our show today is called Romance to Reality, which means that we're going to talk about the optimistic ideal of the library and the librarian, and that we sometimes embraced it when we decided to make this our career. And then we're going to talk about whether that ideal has changed over time. So let's start with, if we're going to go from fantasy to reality, I don't know. Who should start with the most idealistic vision of the library right now? We're all pretty cynical here in the studio right now.
We're far enough along into our career that we've earned the right to be cynical every now and then. Permanently, maybe?
Amy, let's start with you. What did you think libraries were when you were a kid?
Well, when I was a kid, I have only positive memories of walking down to the library with my mom for like the summer reading group. You know, it was the Reading Lions, and they were on safari. So the number of books you read, the lion moved across the globe, right?
That's awesome.
So that was pretty exciting, and I found that, you know, to be a really great way to spend a hot summer day.
Did that become a career move very quickly, or was it sort of, you had your library as a... Libraries in my youth, and then later... turn to the career?
It's sort of multi-part. So that was like an early on experience and set a positive sort of view on libraries. And then after that, when I was about 14, so I was too young for a paid job and too old to just like hang out all summer, I volunteered in the public library to do the children's reading group. So then I was bringing all of my fabulous experience from the Reading Lions into the new era when I was 14. And so that was sort of like the next step. And then I didn't think about it for a long time. I went to college and grad school and used libraries as, you know, a researcher to do my projects and papers. And then from that point, I have to say I kind of fell into library work.
Yeah, that's going to be
a theme.
Rather consistent theme.
Yeah. Yeah, anecdotally, we hear a lot from our fellow librarians that, oh, I just kind of fell into it.
Yeah.
I didn't start out wanting to be a librarian. I fell into it.
What was that undergrad work, Emmy?
Art history and sociology.
Yeah, well, sounds like you were starting to become a librarian.
There you go, exactly.
Fred, how about you?
My first memories of the library, I'm going to go back to elementary school, and the there wasn't a lion.
No lions, no safari.
But there, I think it was like stars or something like that. But at the,
a reading star.
I remember at, and probably because the elementary school that I went to was called Starmount.
There you
go. Charlotte, North Carolina. And there was a chart with people's names on it, students' names that tracked, you know, who had read books. And, you know, if you met a certain threshold, you got some sort of prize. I can't even remember what it was. So, yeah, it was nice to track your progress against your peers on the chart. Later I learned about privacy concerns in libraries, but
right.
I guess the librarian there was not hip to that to that particular aspect.
So it just made you happy. You had fond and happy memories of the library at that time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because you were being rewarded for doing something that was that was rewarding.
So what happened, dude?
What happened between then and now?
How'd you become a librarian?
Like Emmy, I fell into it. But
did you fall in love with it?
I don't know that I can fall in love with a profession or a career. I don't know if I'm emotionally wired that way. But when I first started exploring it as a career, I was pretty excited about it because it seemed like, man, you can be... It's that rewarded for doing something rewarding. The people that I saw leaving graduate school and getting jobs, like, oh my gosh, they're getting paid to do these really cool things. Someone I knew worked in the Bronx Botanical Garden cataloging leaf specimens for their archive. And to someone like me, that sounded like a really interesting job, being around scientists and in kind of a museum setting.
And was that post-undergrad?
That was post-undergrad, but pre-graduate school, between the time that I left undergraduate, but before I decided to go to graduate school in Atlanta.
What was your undergrad education?
English, another humanities
major.
Oh,
there you go.
Fell into librarianship.
Nice. And you had long hair and played rock music, right?
Hair wasn't so long, but yeah, yes to the rest of that.
You had longer hair. I have exactly the same story as you two. I was in love with the library because I was a bookworm. Books were my only friends as a child. And the library is where the fiction shelves were. So I was just reading my way through the fiction section. And I romanticized the library because of that, because this is where the books are that I like to read. And then the librarian, as a concept, got a little bit of romance because Jorge Luis Borges, which some of you might only recognize as looking like George Luis Borges. Right?
Yeah, which is what I thought for many years.
Yeah. He was Argentinian. That's why it's Borges. And you know what? I probably have it wrong anyway. I never met the man. He never told me how to say his name. But he was a blind librarian who wrote these amazing short stories. And then Name of the Rose was super cool. And so this sort of the librarian, and even the orangutan librarian in the Discworld books. These are all sort of magical things about libraries and librarians.
Even before I entered the library profession, people would that talk about libraries, if they used libraries in a positive way at all in any part of their life, they would just speak about librarians like, oh, the librarian is so great. Oh,
yeah.
Helped me so much.
Yeah.
Oh, and and you just think, I want to be a part of that. You know, I like libraries too. Maybe people will praise me like that.
I have a little twist to go with that for the next segment when we talk about how people think of librarians. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then I went to school. My undergrad degrees were in economics and in science, technology, and culture. And I worked at the library to pay for beer. And then I worked at the library to pay for tuition. And then I just kept working at the library. And I was there for 15 years until someone said, you know, you ought to get a library degree and be a librarian. That's how you can make a career out of this. And I did.
So it wasn't the ideal of the library. It was just sort of already home.
Yeah. I wanted it as a student assistant job because, ooh, libraries. And then I wanted the librarian position because, ooh, salary, you know, you know, some kind of tenure equivalent. And yeah, I didn't quite fall into it, but it was definitely inertia that got me into the job, not anything else.
Amy, what did you, what was your entree into your first professional library job?
A student job at the University of Chicago that moved into, there is an opening for an assistant curator, and this was the Visual Resources Center. So that was where we had the 35 millimeter slides, like right before the digital transition.
These are all the same story.
And then from there, it was a good 10 years of that type of work before I thought, oh, maybe I should get the MLIS.
Holy cow. Yeah. All right. So we're the same.
Mm-hmm.
Fred?
Yeah, I definitely had the jobs in college during the semester. My job was delivering books that had come in for interlibrary loan. They came to the library, and I took a little cart and wheeled them to different department offices and left them in mailboxes.
Very
and
nice.
And then I got a shelving job at night.
Yeah.
The library was home. It's where I like to spend. I did spend leisure time in the library. I don't know if I should be embarrassed to say that, but I spent leisure time in the library and then professional time in the library.
You working in a library when you got your degree? Your MLIS, your Master's of Library and Information Science?
I was not. I did continue working at the university, but it was in a more graduate assistant role at the graduate admissions office.
So you were in higher education, but not actually in the library?
Not during my graduate.
Just enough variation on our stories to not be like, oh, this is how everybody got into librarianship.
But, you know, I get just in talking to other librarians, and I think if there are any other librarians listening to this, they'll hear familiar stories, because whenever I've talked to other librarians, it's like, yeah, I loved libraries, and I started working in the library, and it was home, and then I got my degree, and I just fell into it. Yeah.
If any listener is interested in dropping their story on us, we're on Twitter at Library Radio. The hashtag for this show is Litz362. And we're on Facebook at Lost in the Stacks.
So you are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll continue with this reflection of the romantic versus the pragmatic after a music set.
File this set under D1.P37.
You just heard Upcountry Blues by Charlie Parr and Angels by David Byrne, songs about how the past shaped our present and laid the groundwork for the future.
Our show today is called Romance to Reality. Now that we've talked a little bit about the romance of our early librarianship careers.
Is that what it was?
It was how we started anyway.
Yeah.
And if you want to call that romance...
There was more romance when this started.
Right, and the years rolled by. So we're going to talk a little bit about how we ended up here. And we all talked about how we ended up here falling into librarianship. But, in our professional lives, I think we've all encountered people that are librarians and didn't fall into it.
Diehards, you're
that
saying.
That aimed for it. They aimed to...
People who are constitutionally built to be librarians.
Right.
But what does that mean?
That's my question. Is there romanticism and idealism different from those of us who maybe fell into librarianship a little more accidentally?
I mean, you were talking about this off air. Can you bring some perspective to all this?
I mean, only insofar as apparently you sort of know, you have colleagues who will tell you, oh, I've wanted to do this since I was 5 years old, and they'll be really into it, and like that was their whole experience. Whereas when I was five, I wanted to be like a veterinarian or an actress or something like that. So I think there's just sort of a different type. Like it wouldn't have occurred to me that that was something I wanted to do, and yet I'm really happy with it, so I'm not exactly sure what to take from that.
There's, I guess, a lot of librarians think to themselves that they're I've lost my thread, Charlie.
So some librarians think of themselves in a particular way and are happy with that.
Yes.
And some librarians, like us,
right,
look at ourselves and think, why am I a librarian?
Right. That flexibility was that kind of word or concept that I'm looking for. We could be here and we are happy with it. And
Do you think it has something to do with identity and how one self-identifies? Or am I way off?
Like what kind of identity?
Like somebody who identifies as a librarian and what that means to them versus maybe we don't necessarily identify as that. Like, yes, that's our job and that's our career and we enjoy it, but maybe we don't identify. I don't know.
Did you just Gen X us?
A little bit.
It's my job, but it's not what I am.
Right.
A little bit.
When you introduce yourself and someone says, like, what do you, or before someone asks, what do you say, like, oh, I'm a librarian? Or does that only come up if someone says, what do you do?
Only if asked.
Only if asked.
Yeah, but also, but that's a personal thing because I don't tend to talk about jobs until it's specifically brought up. I'll ask somebody, like if I'm meeting someone for the first time, I'll ask what they do for fun before I ask about their job. But that's a personal choice because over the years I've noticed that that's what humans do when they meet. They ask about each other's jobs. So I thought I would mix it up a bit. And so it kind of...
But what we found here is like in the three of us, I'm going to go out on a limb here. We're the type that would say, you know, we would answer, you know, when someone says, what do you do? We would say librarian. It's not part of our...
I think
this
often
is the identity
I say I work in Georgia
about,
Tech.
Right?
Yeah. I think that's usually what... Because I take delight in the faculty status that we have at Georgia Tech because of our librarian jobs, because of the things we get to do. Mm-hmm. I say faculty status, and I'm sure it sounds a little bit like, I like the status. But what it is that I like being able to do things with more freedom, to be more experimental. I mean, we're on the radio. This is our job. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an experiment that I, to be honest, spiraled out of control. I don't know why I'm still doing it. But that's what I enjoy about my job in higher education, which happens to be librarian. Mm-hmm. I joke, and I'm joking on the square, that I'm a bad librarian. You know, most everything about librarianship, if you came to me and asked me a question, I'd be like, I'm sure we can find someone who knows the answer.
Is that because of just the down in the weeds technical skills, or is it because you don't feel that you've got the fundamental library ideals internalized?
I have fundamental library ideals internalized, but I have very little operational ideals or values internalized.
So the concept of like, I want information to be available. I want to serve the community. I want to be a place where the community can come without question or fear or...
Yeah, I'd like to smash our corporate overlords and decentralize right. the data that is gathered by us and about us and save right. humanity. Mm.
But actually logging into the system and checking out a book...
I'm not clear on how to do that, no.
But that's not the library ideal, though. But, and, you know, anybody can get those kinds of technical... skills.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like we're being a little bit callous here because we're like, oh, anybody can pick up a book.
Well, yeah, that is a little, yeah.
The thing is that we are public-facing librarians, and in a lot of ways, we are public-facing Georgia Tech faculty who happen to work at the library more than anything else, I think. And the studio goes dead.
Emmy? You are in a new, relatively new position at Georgia Tech.
Kind of, sort of.
And it's kind of
a reimagined position.
A reimagined position.
My kids are all older than your position.
No one has done really what you're doing because there's not a precedent for it, this kind of like public library service. How do you bring those ideals like from the fundamental traditional library education that you have and apply it in this like 1 minute that we got left?
Well, the service is the same, and what we're trying to achieve is the same. It's just the way in which we do it is completely different. So the same thing holds. So the idea is somebody comes in and they want assistance. We're there to provide the assistance, to help them find what they're looking for, to... gain the information or learn how to use any one of our systems, but we're doing it without a desk, which is, you know, sort of avant-garde in its own way. And we're doing it by kind of copying a more sort of retail model. But really, it's the same information and the same method of serving.
And that's kind of what we're getting down, what we're landing on here.
Yeah, is this is the ideals third are preserved. Segment coming. Yeah.
The mm-hmm. ideals are preserved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll be back with more about the romance and the reality of libraries on the left side of the hour.
This is Mandy Shep, the Loudmouth Librarian, and you're listening to Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta.
Today's show is called Romance to Reality. Science fiction author Ray Bradbury once said, "It's part of the nature of humans to start with romance and build to a reality." He was talking about space exploration, but the point is taken in any human endeavor. To achieve something, Bradbury thought, we needed to collect information and facts. And to properly collect information and facts, we needed to be excited to do it. That excitement is created by the romance of the ideal. Reality, in other words, doesn't have to destroy the romance. Romance is the tool that creates the reality. Now, if that sort of baked your noodle, go ahead and relax and file this set under BF637.C5D86.
Our show today is called Romance to Reality.
Emmy, before we get into the next segment, let's go ahead and do a set review.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Fred do that one.
We got to stick to
Fred
the script.
Fred can do it.
Yeah, there are punishments if we don't. So we just heard Pine Tree by Dana Falconberry and Cindy Incidentally by The Faces. Those are songs about putting a priority on the here and now.
And the priority.
We got to stick to our ideals here, Emmy.
I think the priority is getting the set list. Right. Let's get that out first, and then we'll move along.
Emmy, how long have you been with the show?
Oh, just, you know, this is my first day.
It's moving from romance to reality quickly.
You're doing great.
Our show today is called Romance to Reality, and it's about us, Charlie, Fred, and me, considering what we thought life as a professional librarian would be when we started our library science programs in college versus what we think now a decade or more into our careers.
Oh my. Now it's funny, this is what we expected to really be talking about, but we derailed our own subject a little bit as we moved through the show. Certainly we imagined something about libraries when we started our library science degrees, but that doesn't matter so much to us now, does it?
Not as much.
You were talking about how Emmy, you were talking that the circulation desk, the concept, and the public services department, the actual department, they're still doing the things that they always used to do, mm-hmm. but they're doing them in very different ways now. And some people are attached to the ways, and you are looking at the reason, the
service,
mission. Yeah, the service itself. Mm-hmm. It seems like perhaps none of us ever really got attached to the ways before we started doing the service.
That could be. To me, it's an end game thing. Like, what is our final goal? Well, you know, somebody comes into the library. We have a user who has a request, and our goal is to fill that request. So how that happens, I'm less attached to personally than having it be a very traditional, you know, kind of romantic idea of a library with, you know, a desk and a librarian sitting behind the desk and all these things taking place like that. As long as the person comes in and gets the help they need, then I figure it's mission accomplished.
When we discovered that we were going to when we were going to do a mostly bookless building for our library and do this digital library thing, I just decided to buy into it, and I started really crafting a narrative around libraries are not collections of books. Collections of books are a piece of the library, et cetera, et cetera. And I realize now, listening to you, that what I did was I reverse engineered a romantic ideal for the library that would still fit if we changed all of the ways, if we changed all of the old traditional methodologies. Because I wanted a big narrative. I wanted a romantic narrative.
But sometimes those ways, the new ways of doing things, sometimes do throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into the ideals. And I'm thinking now about how libraries, I mean, not talking about Georgia Tech specifically necessarily here, but libraries in general are moving towards more data collection of their users, or at least considering it, which...
This is a hot topic right now.
Which is, well, yeah, I mean, we're, you know, libraries are looking at things like, you know, geolocation, location-based services, and, you know, what does it mean? Is it opt-in only? And even if it is opt-in, what do you do with that data? And these are all towards that goal of the service to the community that we serve. But are those ways and means conflicting with the ideals?
Someone tweeted that if you're using your information, I wish I had it in front of me. They were very angry the idea that any library would track its users' behavior, and in fact declared that they would rather have no library than a library that breached privacy in that way. Mm-hmm. And it shocked me a little bit, not because I have a position one way or the other, but it's just not something that I have concerned myself with, because I'm embedded in higher education. We do track everyone's behavior anonymized, you know, because we've got all of these cohorts, you know, the College of Engineering or the undergraduate students, you know, and we try to create these ideas of them, you know, collectively. But then the public library, the idea of tracking people's behavior at the public library, that's sort of anti-freedom. And now I have to think about
Although I'm old enough to remember going to the public library or my school library and seeing the names of the people that checked out the book
right
before
on the card.
Me.
On the card. On the cards, absolutely.
As a matter of fact.
Let's start a club.
Right. As a matter of fact, at my last job, which was at an Air Force testing facility at their technical library, a lot of the old books still had those old cards, and the engineers that worked there would come in and look to see who checked that book out in the 60s because they knew the prominent names. And they said, Dr. Gothert checked this out. I better look at this too,
right?
Because he was a big name.
That's funny.
And there's a reason to change up some methodologies for sure. Well, where are we going with this? Why? I mean, what have we learned, if anything?
I don't know if I came into this discussion with a particular goal in mind, but it's starting to dawn on me that I want to be more energized about librarian ideals than perhaps I am.
But you are energized by the library ideals. I mean, that's the part that draws you in.
Maybe it's just are you saying it's just the ways and means that have derailed me a little bit?
The reality.
My romance has not built a sufficient reality, is what you're saying.
I think that's what I'm saying.
This show has just been a call for help.
As always.
A therapy session.
You've been listening to Lost in the Stacks. We are three librarians. It's time for a music set.
File this set under CB425.W52.
That was Boy, Look at What You Can't Have Now by Darren Heyman and Emma Koopa. And we started with Funeral Singers by Caliphone. Those were songs about facing the reality of one's situation and acknowledging the changes it will bring. Today's show was called Romance to Reality. And I feel a little bit like I've been to a counseling session of some kind to restore, to bolster an important relationship, you know, the one between me and my career.
It seems like we're yearning for the thrill of young love, which I think you mentioned earlier.
I did.
Except in our case, it's love of our profession of librarianship, you know, rather than with another person. But either way, those young carefree days are over.
But I don't think we discovered that the relationship is in vain or needs to be abandoned. Rather, I think we've just realized that, like all relationships, it takes work to keep it meaningful and fulfilling.
OMG, optimism. Thank you, Emmy. That sounds like a breakthrough to me. I think that's our show for today. Everybody kick back, do a Bob Marley, roll the credits.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Charlie Bennett, Wendy Hagenmeyer, Fred Rasko, and Emmy Decker.
That was Josh. He was our engineer today. And the show was sponsored in part by Project Management and Higher Education.
Oh, boy. Your SIPOC, Emmy. Legal counsel and rose-colored glasses were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to every mentor we had, all of our colleagues, and even for our challenges for making us the librarians we are today. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and plenty of other places we probably don't even know about.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, a show about data. Whose data? Your data. Hey, data, data, swing, data, data.
Let's hear some chatter out there. Time for our last song today. And even though our good friend Amit Doshi isn't on the show
Amit.
Anymore. Miss Amit.
Gone but not forgotten.
I'm going to take a page from his book, though, and end on a note of optimism. But, and I like how Emmy is taking on the optimistic
role.
Yeah,
she's going to be the Amit.
Be the Amit, Emmy.
Be the Amit.
But because it's me, I'm going to have a slightly tempered optimism.
Pessimistic optimism.
Our last song reminds us that inspiration and meaning can come from anywhere, in any form. We can keep the romantic ideal alive. But this song also reminds us it's just a job after all. This is Have You Seen the Ideal by the Baskervilles right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Lost in the Stacks from WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Find us online at wrek.org/lostinthestacks to see playlists for old shows, connect with our social media, or get in touch with us.